Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go out to Las Vegas, Nevada for the big winter meetings.
Be a bad place to be, huh?
Not terrible.
9:31. I think I'd be putting it on a tee right now somewhere.
You wouldn't be covering the winter meetings?
Nah, bro. Come on. You think I have a, they couldn't pay me enough to do this job. To do Sweeney's job. What Sweeney does, there is not enough money in the world for me to do.
How about that intro, Sweeney?
Let me tell you, Sweeney.
Okay. Can I bring you into contract negotiations?
No.
You're awesome, dude.
No, I'm going the other way, Sweeney.
By the way, can I tell you that I loved that stunned disbelief was part of the end of that call?
Like Gary Thorne.
The end of the Buckner call.
That's a very underrated aspect of that call when Gary Thorne says, and the Red Sox are sitting in stunned disbelief.
Yep.
And I think New Englanders will get over one of those a lot faster than they did the other.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would think.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you expect to have happen over the next 4 or 5 days at the winter meetings?
You know, I don't expect Machado and Harper to sign. You know, I think that those are the guys, the big-ticket guys, that will take longer. But you're going to hear, you know, really, I guess, which teams are serious and how far they're willing to go. And I think you have to count the Yankees in on both of those guys to some degree. We will find out. I think the relievers are the ones that might start coming off the board. We've seen a couple of starting pitching moves, and we've seen, you know, maybe we'll see more of those guys come off the board, like Happ, and we'll see if the Indians move on Kluber or Bauer. But the relief market has been a little slow. And we saw some of that move, I think, at the meetings last year. So I wonder if guys like Miller or Robertson or Ottavino, you know, and the Mets and Yankees are both competing for some of the same guys. I wonder if that market will maybe just kind of take off a little bit here.
How about the guys that the Mets and Yankees are not competing for, like Machado and Harper? I mean, do you see these two guys going at the winter meetings? And what about Machado to the Yankees, Sweeney?
I think you wait for both of those guys. I don't think either one of those guys gets done here. I think you're talking about very big commitments at ownership levels too, not just regular baseball type deals. So I think you're kind of really getting in the starting blocks for these guys. And maybe, you know, that doesn't mean that it's going to take two more months, but I think you start to ramp it up here a little bit. But don't leave with a press conference that has Harper or Machado. The Yankees are sending signals that Machado seems to fit a little bit more, and that it's somebody that they are considering more. When you hear them talking about his character issues and wanting to sit down with them, I mean, that's indicating a big level of interest. But I don't think they are interested in making the 10-year commitment or longer that maybe Harper and Machado envisioned when they were hitting free agency at 26. Harper is a guy that the Yankees are sending no signals on. But there's been, you know, over the years leading up to this, there's been a lot of smoke as far as Harper and the Yankees, whether it's his own statements about, you know, as a kid wanting to be a Yankee, a Monument Park Yankee, and then you have the Yankees salivating in his free agency when he's winning MVPs at 22. The last couple of years maybe took something off of that, and the fact that Stanton is here taking up a big salary number, a big commitment in an outfield spot. But I think when you look at guys like that, you never say the Yankees are out. I just look at their history of negotiating with guys like this and see where Johnny Damon and Mark Teixeira, who were both Scott Boras clients, just like Bryce Harper, they wanted a certain level of commitment, and the Yankees played it cool and got their guy at lesser dollars than maybe anticipated earlier.
Now, Sweeney, you could make a lot of news right here if you have the information. What are you hearing about Randy Levine.
Yeah, how about
being
this?
Being bantied about
with Big Don?
As being a candidate for the chief of staff job at this White House. What are you hearing?
I hear what you hear, and I'm wondering, should I start polishing up my resume to be like president of the Yankees? Do you think that's something I could line up for?
Why the hell not? Why the hell not? Give it a try.
Maybe Mike could be president of the
Yankees. Well, he could.
Would you really want to be president of the Yankees, Swing? Would you want that?
No, probably not.
I didn't think so.
Did you know of any past relationship between Randy Levine and the president, or is this all new?
Well, there were days, at the old stadium, I remember, I used to sit, the press box area that I sat in was right next to Steinbrenner's owner's box. And that's where you'd see all the A-list guests, and Donald Trump was always, not always, but he was frequently there as a guest of Steinbrenner. Randy Levine has been in the Yankee organization for a long time. And I know he was, close with Rudy Giuliani's campaign and things like that. So,
right.
I pretty much assumed that they had a relationship of some kind. I don't know that it was going to be close enough where he would be on a list considered for chief of staff.
He's going to have to take a pay cut for that job, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Right now, and we're talking to Sweeney Murdy, you mentioned the relievers are probably the ones that may move, especially quicker than these big bats. David Robertson is fascinating for two reasons. Number one, he's good. And number two, he's representing himself. Do you think him representing himself changes where he may end up as a free agent as compared to if he had a Scott Boras repping him?
His agent for really, I think, the entire career, Scott Leventhal, got him the last deal with the White Sox for 4 years. And it's funny, I told this story to somebody else just recently. When Robertson was a free agent 4 years ago, the White Sox was starting, there were some rumors that the White Sox were interested, and the Yankees had appeared to have some interest in bringing him back, but we weren't quite sure. It was at the winter meetings when it started to kick up. And I remember speaking to Ken Williams, who was president of the White Sox. I don't remember what his title was, but GM, vice president, whatever, the White Sox. And I pulled him aside from another meeting, and I asked him some questions about David Roberts, and he gave me a lot of vague non-answers. And later that night, the White Sox were reported, and they had their deal. They had, was 4 years and whatever it was for Robertson. And I found it kind of stunning that it moved so quickly when I was getting a lot of non-answers and wasn't really sure if it was going to move that fast. Well, the next day I saw Ken Williams in the halls at the hotel that we were at, and he kind of looked at me and smiled, and he said to me something to the effect of he thought that maybe I was snooping around on the Yankees part, asking him so many questions about David Robertson, which I didn't quite seem to understand why. That's really not my job. But so I said, wait a second. I said, did you up your offer to Robertson after we talked? He said, let's just say I did what I had to do to get my guy. Now, that's all played through an agent. An agent can play those kinds of games. An agent can play one team off for another because that's where his experience level lies. David Robertson can try to do the same thing. I don't know that his negotiating acumen is going to be the same, but I think he has an idea of what he wants. And if there are 3-year deals out there, and the Mets happen to be one of those teams who want to do it, or the Yankees happen to be one of those teams who want to do it, or the Red Sox, and see how far they're willing to go, he can get himself that deal. But as far as playing the executives and playing that game, that's something that I think skilled negotiators do. I'm still waiting for my cut, by the way.
Yeah, you should.
Of that extra year that I got David Robertson from the White Sox.
Yeah, you take 5%. That's a lot of cash right there, Sweeney.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
Then I will be on the golf course and not here at 9:30.
There you go. How about, and this is not related to the winter meetings, but how in the world did Harold Baines and Lee Smith get into the Hall of Fame? Are you kidding me? Well, what is going on here? That's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
The thing you have to remember is the process to get these guys voted into the Hall of Fame is a lot different than the process for the writer's ballot. This is a 16-member committee, and I think it's pretty clear from the makeup of the committee that Jerry Reinsdorf and Tony La Russa were the ones championing Baines' cause. Now, the process here is different because the 16 members of this committee all get into a room together, which happened yesterday, and they spend hours debating and selling each other on the merits of these guys. This doesn't happen in the writer's ballot. You know, 500 guys don't get in a room together and say, all right, this is why we should vote for this guy and that guy. So that's where this process differs. And, you know, you're going to get – this is where you kind of fill in the cracks. And this is – listen, this is nothing new. When you look at the old Veterans Committee types of things where you had guys like Phil Rizzuto, Bill Mazeroski, guys who had – 15 years on the ballot and didn't get in, you know, you fill in the cracks, whether they were contemporaries, friends, however you want to do it. And listen, there's room for that too. Did I ever think watching Harold Baines, I was watching Hall of Famer? No, not at all.
No.
But really good player. The thing that I remember thinking about was when he was close to retirement, thinking, wow, if he plays another year, he's going to have 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
And someone's going to have to decide whether or not this is the first guy with 3,000 hits that doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. Didn't happen. He ended up with 2860 thereabouts, and he got into this. I have – they're not going to discuss what happened in the room, but I would have no doubt that Tony La Russa, who managed Baines in both Chicago and in Oakland,
and
Jerry Reinsdorf, the place where the White Sox retired his number while he was still an active major league player, I have no doubt that those guys were the guys who were championing his cause and swayed in the votes. It's still 75%.
It's only 16 people, too, right? So all you need is to sway a couple of votes, and you got it.
It's unbelievable.
It's 12 out of 16. It's still 75, which is still hard to do. You know, 75%, even
not when you got friends
really
doing each other a favor.
Your buddies are like, yeah, you know, do me a favor. Put this guy in for me, you know?
Well, so, you know, listen, I hate to put down guys and rather than celebrating guys. Who, I mean, this is a big achievement for them. And, you know, Harold Baines is on MLB Network last night, and he's, you know, he's almost in tears. You know, this is a meaningful moment
for
him.
No, I get that, and I'm happy for him as a person, even though he probably knows he's not a Hall of Famer.
He probably thinks that, right.
But you're also opening the doors, and I have a piece that should be coming up shortly on WFAN.com where I say, you know, listen, this opens – this is going to open the door for a lot of guys who – Harold Baines got 6.1% on a writer's ballot. That was the most he ever got.
6.1.
6.1. He fell off, and then he got shuttled into a committee like this. Bernie Williams was at 9.1%, his high. He fell under 5%, got knocked off the ballot, and he's going to get into this committee
Joe Torrey will call in some favors, and Bernie Williams will get into
it. That committee has Joe Torrey on it. It has Roberto Alomar on it.
There you go.
Who knows who else could be on it in a few years?
Wow.
And Bernie Williams, who these guys deserve more of a look than they got, and you know the crowded ballots certainly is part of the reason why these guys fall off and don't get a longer consideration on the ballot. But you know, there are going to be people who are going to be celebrated as Hall of Famers that maybe you didn't think were or deserved to be, but the committees are going to meet every year in rotating forms to look at different eras of players. And listen, when I started to think about it, Bernie's name is the one that popped up as the guy. If Harold Baines is a Hall of Famer,
about Don Mattingly.
How about Mattingly?
You know, Mattingly gets hurt because of the longevity.
Yeah.
So play 22 years and be okay.
Probably has a better case. Keith Hernandez will have a much better case when he gets onto a committee like this because the committee that elected Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, the next time they meet, will have Hernandez on their ballot. And if, you know, Ozzie Smith, who was on this committee, and other guys who played, you know, last year, George Brett and Robin Yount stood up and said, yeah, Jack Morris hated facing him. Alan Trammell, one of the best. So, you know, these guys are in their element. And when this is the argument to be made when people say the writers are biased. They have this.
They're all biased. You know, everyone's biased.
Everybody has their own biases of different kinds. And those, you don't have to like it, and you can argue against it, but you know, these guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame, and you're not taking them out. They will be called Hall of Famers for the rest of their lives. And, you know, we'll see how the next ballots take shape. But I can see a lot of guys now who will, you know, you put into committees like this. And listen, I think Hernandez is a perfect example. I think there are only two cases where the longevity wasn't a factor. Sandy Koufax, Kirby Puckett. They had, you know, really horrific injuries that cut short the prime of their careers. And Mattingly is different. He played through a different part of his career. And, you know, Albert Bell was on this last ballot with guys with that, you know, he was on the ballot that was considered yesterday. So I don't know what his level of support was. It was less than five of the 16.
Albert Bell?
Is all they would say.
Albert Bell has no support. It's an absolute crime that this guy is not in Hall of Fame.
I can't call it a crime because there's obviously, you know, there are pluses and minuses. There's pros and cons. If you can argue, there are very few, like, if Ken Griffey Jr. isn't in the Hall of Fame, it's a crime. If Mariano Rivera isn't in the Hall of Fame, it's a crime. There are very few automatics. Everybody else has debate attached to them.
Yeah, well, there's also a major bias to Albert
Everybody's
Bell.
Got a bias.
Major.
That's one thing we're learning. It's not just the writers. Right. It's former players. Right. It's exactly. Everybody's biased. Right. Just look around.
Right.
We're talking to Sweeney about
the
winter
meetings. By the way, if Keith Hernandez is in the Hall of Fame, you got to put Mattingly in. And that's coming from a Met fan.
And I hear that argument, but I think the longevity factor plays more for Hernandez.
Are the Yankees, and the Yankees I think have been smart. I'm going to defend them with what they've done in this offseason.
And the championships, too. That's the other part of it. You know,
okay.
Now,
I understand. He won
sorry,
two.
Evan,
I get
just
it.
To interrupt you, but here's the other thing that they just did. They put in a closer and a DH, and neither one of them has a World Series ring.
Right.
So all these things that we've been led to believe are that should be factors, that you need to be a full-time two-way player, that you need to have be on championship teams. All these things are being thrown out the window now. You are opening up the doors to a great many people to consider for the Hall of Fame. And, yeah, next time these committees meet, Mattingly, Hernandez, Steve Garvey's a name that I thought of yesterday.
Yeah, that's
you
a know, good
these
one.
These are types of
yep.
guys that you need to start considering. Jim Cott, anybody else that you want to throw out there, you can't throw certain arguments out there and say they need this, they need this, they need this, because you're starting to elect guys who don't have any of them.
Are the Yankees going to be willing to go 3 years on Jay Happ?
That is probably the biggest question, is whether or not they're going to get Happ. I think that's, you know, the Phillies have made it be known that they want a left-handed starter. They missed out on Corbin. They are in a division where everybody else is moving, and they might need to get aggressive on a guy like Cap. The Yankees are drawing their lines in the sand with the certain guys right now. And if they miss out on Hap, you know, then where do they turn? Do they then turn to the Indians with Corey Kluber under control for a couple more years? Trevor Bauer, both of these guys are gettable. To what degree yet? I'm not really sure. And that's clouded a little bit on the Yankee side because, you know, I know that the Indians still like Clint Frazier. But his concussion history this year, or what really just, you know, what it did to him this year, I think throws a cloud over what his status is as a prospect. And, you know, it stinks for him as a player that he had to go through this year. And I'm not sure the Yankees really know what his value is as a prospect if they want to think about him as somebody they could move. If they don't go to Happ, could they try to trade for one of those guys? Do they want to trade for Madison Bumgarner, despite, you know, maybe some signals that his performance is declining a little bit, you know, the peripherals? I heard interesting yesterday, you know, Cole Hamels had his option picked up by the Cubs. I don't think they're necessarily interested in trading him, but if the Yankees whiff on a big addition here and get maybe a lesser starter to fill out the rotation to start the year, Hamels is clearly a guy who could move in the middle of next season, and is that somebody that could maybe?
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. Sweeney, we'll talk to you throughout the week. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you, Sweeney.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.